The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of The Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, and I still don't have my voice back from Game 7, but I'm joined with my good buddy, good friend, and co-host, Cody Frankel. And before I do send it over to you, Cody, I got to say, I don't want to be called a hero, but I think I saved the series.
You saved the series.
I came on here after Game 4.
I saved the fucking series. You took too long. Right away, I came out with that tweet saying, if there's any team coming back, we need to rewind the timestamp and we need to see whose timestamp was first. But anyways, we saved the series.
If any team's going to lose in five, it's them.
No, but I said, if any team's going to win and come back first, it's them. And I'm going with the former because one, no quit in New York. Mm-hmm. And where are we? No quit in New York. And two, Igor fucking Shesterkin, man. That guy, I'm literally speechless. Yeah. Speechless. He was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I'm literally speechless about him. Did you see that? Did you see that Valley dropped, you know, his normal like stats and analytics, and we were supposed to lose that game by 3 goals. Like, yeah, that's insane. Mm-hmm.
I gotta say one thing, like, aside from the game, we went to that bar after, not Stout, but whatever was next.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Great time. Super drunk. I think I could.
I didn't even go.
Oh, you didn't go?
Dude, this is what we do with Johnny, because Johnny,
I thought for sure that I was talking to you.
Dude. Yeah, that's because you were trying to feed pigeons at 3 a.m. But
wait,
it's okay.
You weren't there?
Dude, I went to meet you guys, and there was like 120 people online. Dude, it took me forever to get out of the garden. And by the time I got there to Stout, first of all, you didn't even go to Stout. You guys went to the Stout and then you left after 2 minutes and went to that shitty Irish pub. All right. Tell the people what they need to hear.
I thought it was fun, but I literally told my mom and dad today. I was like, yeah, I went to the bar with Cody after. I had such a good time.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Dude, I went to meet you. Well, all right. For those listening, we did go to dinner before and get drinks before the game, but
Mustang Harry's, great spot.
Yeah, good spot. But I fucking went to the bar and there was like 120 people online. I was like, you know what? Honestly,
yeah,
everyone's so drunk already. If I just Irish exit, nobody's going to know. And
nope.
Clearly it worked.
Yeah.
Clearly it worked. Johnny thought he was talking to me for 2 hours, but
I thought
really
we had the best time.
A couple of pigeons. But
I want to give a shout out to everyone who showed up like Friday at 13 Step. Like, we had great such time. A big crowd there. Like, yeah. I think we each had like 20 people show up.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And at anyone like that we saw last night at the Garden, we saw Bass Chesty at Mustang Harry's, which was cool. Like, great meeting him in person. But it was just like, that's what I want to talk about. Like, just there's so many people who say sports don't matter, whatever. I see where those people come from, but like, being in New York City after that game last night, like, anyone you saw wearing Ranger colors, everyone's just like high-fiving in the street at every block. Like, I was walking on like East 7th Street last night and I saw a Ranger jersey, and me and this guy, like, it's like dap each other up. Like it just brings the city together. And I haven't felt that in so long. Like, it really is like, not to sound like super cheesy, but it's like such a magical feeling, especially to like, and I called it at dinner. I said, I feel like this.
I don't even want to hear it. Yeah.
I said that.
And also, I actually wanted to give a shout out as well, because we can't take all the credit for saving the series. I also want to give a huge, huge shout out to Pittsburgh Penguins fans because you guys are so dumb and you were proclaiming, you know, the series was over, sliding into my DMs, commenting on all my stuff. Thank you for fueling the fire.
Yeah.
Igor Shesterkin heard you, Mika Zibanejad heard you, and, you know, Panarin heard you. So we appreciate you guys. And you, you know, you get some snaps.
Let's talk about Mika and Panarin though, because honestly, like if there's one guy who needed to step up for this comeback, it was Mika.
It was Mika. And in the last two games, did you see this dude? He finished with 11 points in the series. He had 4 points after five games. He had three goals, four assists in the last two games. Insane.
And honestly, that's the one guy that we need to get hot going into the series against Carolina, which I should mention. We're going to talk about with our guest, Sarah Sivian. She's a beat writer for The Athletic for the Hurricane. She's a good friend of mine. She's awesome. Great interview. A lot of fun and previewing the series against Carolina, which
should be a good time.
We won't talk about much now because we're going to talk about it with Sarah, but I think we should just talk about the players that like really stepped up. And I saw Fitz tweet this actually saying how it was so unique that in each game, game five, game six, game seven, it was a different guy that was the catalyst.
Every single game. I think there was, first I want to start off with, I think throughout the entire series, there was only one player to me who
Keandre
stepped up every single game. Yeah. And that was Keandre. I think he had one bad game four. Mm-hmm. But he had six really good games. Dude, in game seven, he did the Malkin thing again. He took somebody else out. Yeah. It was just on every play. He was breaking up, you know, he was breaking up passes. He was locking down their top guys. I mean, I never have given him shit ever, but I did say I wouldn't mind him to be traded at one point.
No,
for Patrick Laine. But I take it back. Okay. Keandre's the man and gotta give up props when props are due. And he stepped up. He's a star in the making. And I thought he played, you know, I thought he's the one guy to me who played like he should the entire series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
the guy behind me at game seven last night was saying that he sucks before the game started. And I was like, what are you
doing? The guy behind me too. What is with these people? The guy behind me wouldn't shut up and kept screaming at Fox and Panarin to shoot the puck the entire game and wouldn't shut up. And then the guy in front of me had the biggest bowl of lettuce I've ever seen in my life. So he was taking up half the ice. Me and you know, Andy, who I went with, he's 6 foot five. And we were like, we couldn't see over this guy because he had the biggest set of hair I've ever seen in my life. But it was worth it.
I want to talk about it too because I actually tuned in to like Spitting Chicklets today, and I wanted to hear what they were saying about the Rangers and stuff. And they obviously
I started to tune in. I just stopped at the Rangers part, but except for I heard the Fugazi's thing, so Biz can suck it.
I really thought that if that game was in the regular season, that's a penalty shot for Keandre Miller. Like I know Witt kind of said
100%, dude. 100%.
Would you have wanted the penalty shot?
What?
Would you have wanted a penalty shot?
Keandre has sick moves.
You know the result. So like it's hard to like actually have an unbiased answer, but like, dude, imagine a penalty shot game seven overtime.
Well, here's the other aspect of it. They were ragging on the helmet play, but like, dude, what about the Gensel goal? I mean, that goal shouldn't have even, you know, his stick was above the, it looked like it was above the crossbar to me. Like
I'll touch on that because I thought because they called it a good goal on the ice, that it should have been a good goal. I was like, I can see that being a good goal. Like, I don't have any complaints about it because the call on the ice was a good goal. Like, it wasn't like so obvious to me that it was above the crossbar.
The thing is, a few times for us, something was called not a goal and then it ended up getting reversed. So it's like, you know, it just felt like every major decision in that game or in the series that we needed to go our way just happened to go Pittsburgh's way. Somehow the boys got it done. I did also want to talk, you know, who else really stepped up and, you know, he didn't play too much because he was hurt, but Tyler Mott, I mean, he came in and just absolute grinder. This guy looked great. He played two games, both games. I thought he played great. He didn't play game five, right? Just six and seven.
Just six and seven. I also, dude, I thought he was going to bury that breakaway in the third period that would have tied the game.
It was so funny because I was literally saying to my buddy, I was like, if it was anybody but Mott, or maybe Reeves, like they probably could have buried that shot, but he doesn't have those. That's not him, but it's fine.
He can score. He has.
But and you know who I did notice this time, which is funny because last time I told you I didn't. Rooney looked good too, I thought. And I paid attention to him this time. Yeah, it's the little things. But some of the guys who I thought had horrible games, was Trouba had probably his roughest game as a Ranger.
Both. Game six.
Yeah, two really bad games. Foxy looked brutal. You know, had some really, really tough giveaways.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so crazy to me because Fox is so good that he had such a bad game, game seven. And I thought he had a rough away stand too, 3 and 4. But like, he's so good that he had 10 points in 7 games.
I wouldn't say he was so bad.
No.
Yeah.
I thought yesterday he was really bad.
Really?
I paid so close attention to him. He fumbled a couple of pucks, like went right past him. He made 3 really, really rough turnovers. Listen, the thing about him is he's one of those guys who whenever he wants, he can turn it on. So it's like, even though he was having a very bad game, I was like, at any point he can make a play that's going to change the dynamic of this game. But he, you know, he's one of those guys on the team that is such an asset that you notice when he has a bad game because it doesn't happen too often. So, you know, I noticed. And then I thought if Panarin didn't score that goal, he would have heard it from some fans from this series because he had a pretty quiet series all in all. I mean, he had 7 points in 7 games, which is fine. But, you know, other than the stat sheet, he had a pretty quiet series. So it was really – and you know that's my guy. So him and me are my guys.
I still think fans
so
are too hard on him.
Like, they are. Well,
yeah.
He wasn't
Rick Nash, dude. Like, dude, Rick Nash was invisible.
Correct. But, dude, it comes down to the $11 million price tag. That's what fans look at. And they say this guy is a top five paid player in the league. Yeah. So they look at that and they say, look at the other top five players in the league and what they did in their series, like what Austin Matthews did and so on. So they look at things like that. So it's, you know, that's why they're being hard on him. I don't think necessarily he had a horrible series. I mean, was he a little quiet in some games? Yeah, sure. He had that awesome 3-point game. I think it was three. It game three? Three. Yeah. But then he was, you know, he was a little quiet, whatever. But I did think his game seven was pretty rough to watch until the goal. And it was just, he's another guy, you know, everybody was like, oh, is he playing hurt? Is he playing hurt? Like, what's he doing? And then he could turn it on at any second. Unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it is just like a fairy tale storybook that he got that goal.
It's just so funny to me how like love hate New York fans are with every team, not even just the Rangers. It's every team. And, so love hate.
Dude. The amount of texts I got when we went down yesterday, 3-2, bro, like the world was
ending. That goal was terrible.
I know, but I'm done. Fuck this team. Forget this team. I'm done. There's a period left of hockey. We're down one goal in a game seven. You think we can't score a goal?
So I went up in the second period. I was with my friend George, who was my roommate at UMass. And he's
George is my boy.
Yeah. You know George. And he's still super tight with Jones. So we saw Jones in between the second and third period. Uh-huh. And he said, he was like, dude, we're going to tie this game. Like he said it, like he knew. And I thought that was like super cool. I also,
you think he was mad? He wasn't playing.
Yeah, of course he's mad. But I told him, I was like, if you pay any attention to Rangers Twitter, everyone wants you in the lineup. So, he's a really
Braun
good
had, dude. I thought Braun played fine. I thought Braun had an actually decent game. He rebounded nicely. I mean, he didn't have a bad game six. Did he have a bad game six? He had one really, really rough game, but I thought he rebounded fine. And anything to get Nemeth out of that lineup is just sweet.
Yeah. Don't want to dwell on the negatives though. There's so many positives to take
out
of this.
Positives.
And like now you can literally say like whatever happens from here on out, the season is a massive success.
So now you don't have to ask every person we talk to anymore if this season was a failure.
No, it is. I think it's a massive success.
I see like, that smile on your face.
Even just getting to game seven to me was like, okay, this is a huge learning moment for these guys. Like, and literally again, like these young kids continue to step up. I mean, I know they didn't score a goal in game seven, but like, man, they led the charge and we're going to need them again to do that against Carolina. But like,
they have a tall task.
Mika's going now. So who knows, man?
Yeah. Well, Mika's going. Kreider's going. Kreider had 5 goals in 7 games. He's doing what he does and can't ask more than that. He just needs to keep the train rolling. I thought Lafreniere and Kako had a fantastic series. Yeah. To me, they were two of the best players this entire series. You always ask if Kako is a heavy player. I mean, he had some very, very heavy shifts every single time he would guard. And it wasn't even putting it on the stat sheet. It was just, he was just grinding, keeping that puck in their zone. And I appreciate that. He was looking a little more confident. Heedle even had a good series, my boy Heedle.
And he had a horrible turnover though. That was the third goal. Oh,
he did. Yeah.
But Heedle is to me like that guy can play for this team for 10 years as a third line center and I'd be thrilled.
Don't say that.
Why? He's a good third line center. I think he's exactly what you need.
As long as he's not a 2C, I still think he's a better winger than center, if I'm being honest.
Could be.
But I would love for Laffey to have his, you know, he had a good series. I think he had 4 or 5 points in 7 games. Like that's great for him.
Yeah.
But I would love this series to be his coming out party and really just, you know, turn it up, goal scoring, goal tear. Would love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, on that note, I think we should just send it over to Sarah Sivian and we're going to talk about the entire series coming up with Carolina. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Let's go.
We're super happy to welcome on my dear friend and a friend of this show. She's been on a couple times before, but now we actually have something really fun to talk about because the Rangers are playing the Hurricanes in round 2. She covers the Hurricanes for The Athletic. So welcome to the show, the lovely Sarah Sivian. Sarah, what's up?
Oh, nothing. So glad to talk to you guys. How are you doing, Johnny, after last night?
I am so fucking happy. I'm glowing. Do you not see it?
You do have that Rangers glow.
Yeah. Also, I was just telling Cody, I was like, I'm pretty sure I FaceTimed.
I was just going to say
you
that.
You did. It was a few seconds. I started to talk and you hung up. I was
so drunk.
you were chanting.
Yeah. And also, Johnny, like, literally was convinced that he was hanging out with me at the bar afterwards. But I Irish exited. And Johnny had no idea. So I didn't even go. And Johnny was like, no, I told my dad, like, we had such a good time after at the bar. And I was like, Johnny, I didn't even go.
Listen, there's no quitting this team.
No.
Exactly.
On and off the ice.
There's no quitting drinking either.
Yeah.
Exactly.
First things first, what is this nonsense with the Canes trying to blackball Rangers fans from getting into their arena games 1 and 2, Sarah? We need the scoop.
Yeah, I will say I did my due diligence and I saw you guys said that and I was like, you're just reading the headline. This is fake news. And then you sent me the article and it is real news that people are being vetted by their credit card whereabouts to see if they can buy a ticket or not. And it's Southern Virginia and Carolina. Mm-hmm. They can buy tickets. And okay, do I understand how this works? No. Are there a lot of Rangers fans in Carolina? Yes, because the Rangers fans are well-traveled and they come to every home game. Got to give them credit there. And in Cary, they call it something where the Yankees are for this area. I cannot remember.
Cody would know. He's the Yankee fan.
The Canes are called Rangers South. So
yeah, it's basically the same thing. So I can understand that they're trying to get tickets to Hurricanes fans, but can you really do that? Can you decide who is and isn't coming?
I mean, I said it'd be cool if they make it like a college football game where you have like one side Canes fans, one side Ranger fans. That, I mean, obviously it's still not an advantage for the Hurricanes because like you don't want Ranger fans in the building, but like, I don't know. Honestly, if it's me and I'm dying to go, I'll just like write in any fucking Carolina Hurricanes Facebook group and say, hey, I'll Venmo you an extra $100 on top of the tickets if you buy them for me and sell them to me.
Just tell them you're Kara Sivian at the door. Yeah.
Is that it? Is that what you're called?
Yeah. No, it's like Sarah Sivian, but like C is the S in my first name. Yeah. You're like my alter ego.
Yeah.
You have a press credential.
Like a mustache.
Yeah. Well, you have one.
So. Yeah, true. Well, on top of that, I just want to ask you, like, everyone says like Carolina is the hardest place to play. Like, what makes that building so intimidating?
It's funny because I have a family friend who used to be a GM of a team and cool, he texted me when I got, no big deal. It's not that big of a deal. Knew my dad, whatever. But he texted me when I got this job covering the Canes like 4 or 5 years ago. And he was like, be prepared because that is the loudest building in the playoffs, no question. And I guess we didn't think the playoffs were going to start this soon, like the year that I started covering it. And then 4 years later, they make it every year. But I have to say, I've been in the building for Hurricanes Leafs game 7 overtime, and it doesn't compare to PNC Arena here. And I think it's because it's like all these allegiances, right? Like UNC, Duke, and NC State. Yeah. Coming together for one cause, and it's like a college atmosphere for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, and there's tailgating and stuff, and it is very loud.
Mm. No, that's sick.
Do you think fans were hoping to play the Penguins or the Rangers?
Oh, I hate to give ammo. Like, and I have learned at this point to respect any opponent, mm-hmm. especially the Rangers and Madison Square Garden and the Bob O'Reilly stuff. Like, yeah, when you hear so that, sick. It's just, it's so you sick. Cannot take the regular season into consideration. Mm-hmm. It's all about the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the whole point. That's why we play. That's why we watch, right? But I do think the Canes kind of wanted the Rangers just because it seems on the surface like it's Igor and that's it. And the Canes mm-hmm. play such a shot heavy game and a shot suppressive game in their own end that it's like if there's a weak decor, that's a perfect matchup for the Canes. But I know these guys. I know Keandre Miller. I know Adam Fox. I know that's not actually a weak decor. I think they might have gotten a little nervous. I don't know. But the game 6 and 7 show that they should not take the Rangers lightly. Yeah.
So let me add on to that then. You know, what stands out to you is one area that you think the Rangers will need to improve on in this series against Carolina mm-hmm. to move past them? Because obviously, from the Rangers standpoint, we have a tall task ahead for sure. So,
well, the Rangers have been so resilient and they've been so good at just saying, F you guys, I'm going to mm-hmm. win the game now. Like, I'll see you guys.
Our favorite word. Game.
Yeah.
No quit.
And there has been no quit, but like, I'm sure that it doesn't run out, but you get tired of doing that all the time. Like, it'd be nice to have an advantage, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the Rangers need to start strong and kind of give the other team a little bit of a, you guys got some quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to add on that too. I think honestly, I speak for almost every Ranger fan where like Carolina is the one team in the East where like, that's the one team we like kind of shit our pants, you know, in playing against. But are the fans down there like worried at all? Or is it like kind of, you know, because we were all like, we're going to steamroll Pittsburgh and then move on to Carolina. Like the focus is on Carolina. So for them, is it like, all right, we're going to have to take on Tampa or Florida. Let's just get through the Rangers. Or is it like, oh shit, we have a real, you know, possible 7-game series here.
These fans are funny because they missed the playoffs for 9 years. So they know better. Like, even though they've made it for 4 consecutive years now, they think everyone's going to beat them. It's like a funny perspective. Like, they're not cocky at all. And they're like, whoa, someone said something nice about us. Like Marchand said today in the Bruins post, like locker room cleanout stuff, that he thinks the Hurricanes are going to win the cup. And they were like, what? Like, yeah, that's why he was playing so hard. And what do you guys think? They're like, whoa, we're getting nationally recognized. So they're kind of still bright eyed and bushy tails about everything. And they are not going to curse the Canes by saying, easy win against the Rangers.
Everyone's like,
exactly.
Pittsburgh.
I know we thought we had it in hand and little did we know. And I was just telling Johnny before, you know, the guy who scares me the most on the Canes is Rod. I think he's such a good, coach that it's, I mean, you know,
Cody's very critical of Gerard Gallant's coaching style.
Really? Why is that?
I just thought he got, that's not true, but I actually like Glenn a lot, but I just thought he got outcoached by Mike Sullivan and it was, you know, pretty abundantly obvious in the first 5 games. And then
why, what does outcoached mean? This is a good question. Hot seat.
No, it's a good question.
Are you sweating?
Me? Stop it. So first things first, I just thought some of the shifts, like we had our fourth line out there against their top line in the first 2 games for so many shifts. And it's like, you got to line things up a little better, especially when you're playing against guys like Crosby and Gensel who can swiftly pass guys like Ryan Reeves. You know what I mean? So
Turk
just things
is
like
an
that.
Interesting cat. I know you mean, he's very divisive. I think Glenn Turk. Yeah. That's
what that's his nickname.
That's his nickname. Johnny says I'm critical and then he doesn't even know anything, but yeah, anyways, so who would you say on the Canes is the most underrated player on this roster? And then who is, I guess, one guy you think the Rangers will need to shut down in order to find success?
Well, I want to lose my absolute goddamn mind when people say Jacob Slavin's underrated. It seems like that's just the talking point. Whereas like, if you have paid attention to the NHL in the past 3 years, mm-hmm. you know that Jacob Slavin is good. And
not when Panarin banned him 2 weeks ago though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. One
his
thing about Rangers
still
fans,
hanging in the ceiling in MSG.
Okay, one thing about Rangers fans, which is funny, like I don't mind it, but there's all, you guys are always going to post a clip of someone going to end to end with no goal scored.
Yep. That's me. That's
did
what I
did. Panarin score a goal on that? No.
No. He actually set up Mika for a gorgeous backdoor pass and he didn't get enough.
He missed it though.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care. I love sick. It, but it's the it same with McDavid. Like I'm glad I will stop shitting on McDavid now because he did the end to end and actually scored. And now
he did it to us too. Quite a few times.
Yeah. Honestly, anyway. Sarah, you and I are probably not going to be friends for the next 10 days because I post all those clips and it's very biased.
I think it's cute. Like you obviously know a lot about hockey, so you're allowed to do that. But anybody's allowed to do it, but it's just like, okay, we get it. Another clip and there's no goal at the end of it. Like they can skate well. But Mika was awesome and Panarin was awesome in game seven, but also game six too. So
yeah, they had a great series. All right. So you're going Slavin. Yeah. I noticed
I don't think anybody on the Canes is underrated. I think that narrative has ridden into the sunset. You guys got to go with who's your underrated pick
for the Canes.
I'm going to go with Vinny Trocheck. Okay. I think.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I think he doesn't get enough, you know, kind of respect on the name. And it's funny, like the whole Prius thing with Marchand. And then, you know, they ended up advancing and he had a pretty good series.
He took that and the next day scored 7 goals on the Canes. Like it was not even a thing. They obliterated the Bruins after that.
I thought it was awesome. I actually wish the NHL was more like NBA Twitter. Like, did you see what was going on today with the NBA stuff? Like Patrick Beverley is saying like Chris Paul can't guard anyone. I'd love for someone on the Rangers right now to be like, who's someone on the Canes? Like Jordan Staal sucks or something, you know?
It's funny because we and fans, like we get caught up in, oh, do these people actually hate each other or whatever it is. Yep. But at the end, they always tip their hat. And Marchand said today, like, I think the Canes are going to win the East. And then D'Angelo said today to our friend, we will get into Tony D'Angelo.
Yep. That's coming.
He said today, I have nothing but respect for Marchand. I actually really, really respect him. And I like what he does with the away from the puck stuff too. And I like to get in on that too. And it was a well-fought series. So the reason Marchand is kind of coming at him is because he is a great player.
Yeah.
And he wants to distract him. Mm-hmm. And Tony was not distracted. And
no.
We all move on.
That was the best rivalry in the first round was Tony D'Angelo versus Jack Edwards. I loved that show.
We did again.
You went viral, huh?
Come on. I'm one of the people, I'm a homer, so I love all the homers. Like, Jack Edwards is as good as it gets when it comes to, like, watching a Bruins game. No? Yeah. Come on. He literally was like, Tony D'Angelo has anger issues and, like, all this shit. And then D'Angelo scores that bomb in game five. And Jack Edwards didn't say a fucking word.
I agree with you. I grew up listening to Jack Edwards. I'm from Boston. And he's a very much a homer. And he will never change. No. And the Bruins fans kind of like him for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, Johnny, you didn't say your pick. Who's your underrated guy?
So I'm actually going to go. And I thought about this the whole time we were talking because I did not prepare this. And I'm actually going to say Antti Raanta. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I don't know about our boy Freddie. I don't know what his deal is. But Raanta, I mean, he's been a starting goalie for a couple of years in the NHL. I know he started in like Arizona, so you can't really count it. But he was a good Ranger for a solid amount of time.
Good old Chris Kreider has his number. So
yeah, but we also saw, like, not that Domingue was good because he wasn't very good, but he was just like a, you know,
dude. He did fine.
He was a capable goalie. So like we saw that a capable goalie can beat this team.
He was tasked with such a hard thing to do in such a bad spot, and I thought he did it pretty amicably, and you know. I don't know. I mean, is what it is. But speaking of our good pal,
I was trying to tee you up for that.
I know. I know. I see that. So what's the latest on Anderson? I haven't seen anything on him. I mean, and also if Raanta starts and is playing well in this series, and then let's say, you know, game four, game five, Freddie is good to go. Would Raanta get the boot or would Rod keep playing him, you think?
I think, and I hope that it's Ranta's net to lose. Like,
really?
That press conference after he won the first round is like, he's hugging his daughter. He's crying. He's crying. Oh, you got to watch it. He lost his dad and his grandfather in the span of days over the summer.
Oh, shit. I did not see that.
his dad used to text him like a little emoji before and after every game, just to be like, I'm watching, good job, whatever. And he would sometimes try to decode it, whatever. It meant a lot to him. And getting over all that stuff. I just think Ranta has been, we all know he's been injury prone throughout his whole career. And I thought what stood out to me is he did have the injury with Pastrnak. And then Ranta said himself, he doesn't think Pastrnak meant that at all. Like, it was just a clean collision.
Well, Kreider's going to do the same thing. So,
It just happened. Like, we're all in, we're all intense right now. But instead of kind of bowing out, Ranta came back and has played even better since when he left. So I do feel like, to a degree, people are rallying like around him, and it was powerful, that press conference and things like that. I know Brind'Amour played in 2006 with Cam Ward, who came out of nowhere, and that was his goalie. So I feel like Brind'Amour is a little inclined to keep the emotional goalie there. And Ron and Anderson, my sense is he's going to be back during this series, but I thought he was going to be back by the end of the first series. So I don't want to be like the injury expert, but I do think there was a minor setback in his injury, and I don't know what it was. I'm not a doctor, but my sense is he was supposed to be at least practicing with the team during the first round, and he was
He's not even skating still?
He's skating by himself, not with the team. So I don't know. Take that as you will. I got to talk to him like a week ago, and he just said, like, some of the movements he's doing, like, aren't hitting right. And when you're a goalie, you have to have them all hitting right, like 500%, or he's not going to play. I respect him for not lying about that, because sometimes we lie about injuries to be able to play.
Lower body.
exactly. But Ranta's doing fine. And I think I want to see the story unfold. And that's not to hate on Freddie. I think me and Johnny were in on him since day one.
Vezina pick.
He's great. And he will come back on his own time. But I do think Runt is giving him more of a timeline.
Yeah. And we also, we know from that game toward the end of the year, that fucking whatever his name, Pyotr Kakekov.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him.
he beat us in the regular season. So we don't want him.
But we were at that game.
Well, he did get in for a game for when Ranta was hurt, but.
I thought he looked great. And that kid's a cocky little, he's a cocky son of a bitch. I like him a lot.
I'm done with third stringers for this playoff. I can't take another one.
They'll surprise you. I don't think that's sustainable. I love it for the little story, but I don't think Kochetkov is sustainable right now.
That's how you say it? Kochetkov?
Kochetkov.
And is
it
Pyotr? Pyotr?
Yeah, Pyotr.
That's hilarious.
We actually had Svechnikov translating for us, and it was really interesting. And I thought maybe he was lying, but I have a friend that speaks fluent Russian, and everything he said was true. So thanks, Svech, for accurately transcribing.
Canes fans actually came at me that night, because I was like, are we really going to lose to some guy named Pyotr?
And then,
and then I got like, I got ratioed, and then I like tweeted after, I was like, I tipped my cap, like, kid played a great game. And then Canes fans were like, I respect you for taking the upper hand or something like that. I was like, these people are from the South.
Oh my God. That's way better than I got from those Penguins fans. Oh my goodness.
Penguins fans suck.
Oh my God. So one guy, I was at the game, and one guy was wearing like a coronavirus veteran hat. So I tweeted a picture of it, and I was like, what are you doing? And I got so many mentions from the Penguins fans just going off.
Like, guys, it's just a tweet. Everything's going to be okay.
Nuts.
Twitter's the best. I love it so much.
I know. Johnny loves
his Twitter. You got to embrace the villain.
I love Twitter. Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. People say Carolina has no superstars. I think it's kind of an interesting narrative, because to me, I think Sebastian Aho is a superstar, and he terrifies me a bit. I was telling Johnny that. Are there any Ranger players who you think scare any of these Canes fans, or I guess Canes players?
I mean, if you asked me at the beginning of the year and my answer was Chris Kreider, I would have like thought you were insane. But it's so cool how that worked out. It doesn't really matter if there's a star. I guess. But I mean, the thing with this Rangers team is, I mean, Shesterkin. And that's the scariest person to be the star. We have Igor, you don't. That's literally how you could sum it up. The scariest thing. And you forget, I voted for him for the heart. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I did.
You are.
We can cut it out if you want.
Arthur told us too.
No, I don't cut it out. They can yell at me if I stand by my decision.
Yeah, they're not going to yell at us.
He carried this team, and now they're kind of I mean, Kreider had what, 50 goals? That's 52, he didn't just 52. Carry the team. Whatever. Yeah.
He had 52 or 53.
Two. Reminds me of the Hangover. My 40-year-old son who still lives at home. I'm 42.
That's exactly what it is. But I mean, I'm not gonna call Kreider the star. I don't think he cares. But Igor having a goalie star is really, I'm so excited to see what his career is in the future. And a lot of it, he kept them in multiple games in the first round. So we'll
game seven. I mean, he was unbelievable. We would have lost by what, 3 goals. I mean, it was just, he made some incredible saves and watching him do it. The good thing about him is he makes you feel like you're in every game. You just need to score some goals. Yeah. But then going back to Carolina, the thing that scares me is they're a much better defensive team than Pittsburgh. Yeah. And also, even if they don't have any, you know, bona fide superstars, even though I think Aho is, like, they just play such a sound game and they have so many good players. And I feel like they just gel so well. And it's, to me, I feel like the thing that's going to be important is the Rangers disrupting that and figuring out a way how to disrupt that. And they can't play catch up again, because if they play catch up against the Canes, I don't think the Canes will let them back into games like the Penguins did. And that's, to me, is like the big key to kind of advance in this series.
Although Carolina should learn that they shouldn't go up 2-0. Whatever they do, just go up 1-0, let the Rangers score, and then play from there.
Yeah. It's silly, kind of like, you got to score for like all the narrative. Like what I love about Rod Brind'Amour, and you guys will find during this series, is that you try to ask him a cliche, like, oh, how important is scoring first? He's like, it's not, we lost every, like, what are you talking about? And you watch, like, did you see the game? And you're like, oh shit, I got to watch the game actually, instead of parroting these narratives. But this is why we watch these games. You can analyze it all you want, but when it comes to the playoffs, it is kind of, okay, you've got the hot young start goalie and you've got Sebastian Aho. You say he's a star. I think he is a star, but game 6 and 7, we were waiting for him to like show that star power and be like, I'm going to take over this game. Game 6, 0 shots, 0 goals, -2. 1 penalty. It was something I've never seen out of him before. I wonder if he's a little banged up from the Charlie McAvoy hit. I keep asking and they're like, stop asking this.
That was a big
Charlie
hit.
Fucking
that was a, out. That was a big hit. Yeah.
And it was a clean hit. It was a big hit. It was clean, but a clean hit can still kind of bang you up a little bit. Yeah. So I am going to be watching for that with Aho. Wow.
While we're on Aho, before we do transition into D'Angelo, has that been talked about, his toe drag goal in the bubble on D'Angelo? Have they talked about that?
The Canes, their new arena, they're calling Invisalign Arena, they just named.
A new building or just a rebrand?
Oh, it's the same build. It's Weight Competition Center. It's like a building they built 2 years ago as their practice facility.
Well, they have a blown up picture of it.
Tom Dundon. Yeah, they had a blown up picture of Aho.
Oh, that's great. Sick.
Yeah, that's Tony, sick. I think they got rid of it. I don't know. But that is an iconic picture.
I hope they play that goal, honestly, like the pregame video for the Rangers. That'd be kind of cool.
The thing, imagine. Hey, guys. Yeah, this is our team, but not our guy anymore.
But it's like fun.
And there's so many old Rangers on the Canes down. It's kind of like the opposite situation with the Rangers, too. But I would say one thing about Tony. Yeah, we know I don't agree with his politics, but he has been a pretty good sport about fielding these questions, and he has laughed about things like that. Like, he has more tolerance for me I do ask him the questions, and he is like, he will laugh it off or answer them. And I do respect that, showing up and like wanting to answer the questions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think he's worked himself into a big contract coming up coming off this 1 year? Obviously he had, you know, the most points in Canes history, I think it was, for a defenseman, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And he's leading the playoffs.
Yeah.
Leading the Canes in the playoffs, at least with 8 points.
I think plus six, too.
Yeah. The best player for the Canes right now. And that's why Marchand came after him, not because of anything else. And that's why there's a mutual respect. But anyway, I do think contracts aren't really made in the playoffs, which people will argue for and against. But I do think RFA. Yeah. He's an RFA. So the Canes have a little bit more control, and I think it'll be fascinating. I think they wouldn't have taken on this like 1 year prove yourself deal if they didn't want to sign him long-term.
Right.
I think there's a again, with a mutual respect, like when he came to the Canes, he loved that the owner called him and was like, hey, listen, like you gotta relax. We're gonna trust you and we're gonna give you all of our resources and all of our time and energy if you can put your head down and kind of stay out of drama and be the player we know you can be. We believe in you. And he, there were a few other teams kind of like poking around at D'Angelo that could have offered him more money, but they, he signed with the Canes because he felt like Tom Dundon, the owner, and Rod truly believed that, like, okay, show us who you can be and the player that you are, and we will have more of a long-term thing coming up. So I think I really, really want, it's, there's no comparables, right? Like there's never been a situation like this in NHL history. So they have to pay him and they have to get, I think he's more concerned with the term than the dollar amount, but they have to pay him.
I'm really curious to see which Ranger he pisses off in the series. Like that's, it's bound to happen. So it's like, obviously he's going to avoid Reeves, but like,
I think
he's
going to be Trouba.
He'd be smart.
I think he's going to be Trouba.
I actually was thinking Trouba too.
But they got back, they got into it, right?
Yeah.
But it's also not very common for like a defenseman on defense. Like when are they really going to, for the most part, you know?
Yeah. It could be he sets it up with somebody else and Trouba just comes right in.
I'm sure they'll find a way.
I mean, we didn't really see, I don't know if I saw any fights in Carolina either. We didn't see any fights in the Ranger Penguin series, I don't think. Like there was like scrums and scuffles, but there was no like drop the gloves fight.
That's why one other thing where like,
Malkin
I don't
sat
praise
on his face. Don't remember, you don't remember that?
Lingering? Oh yeah. That was a fight.
I don't remember anyone sitting on anyone's face.
Oh my god.
I don't know what series closely. You were watching.
Wasn't Strom like in a headlock? Like what are you talking about?
That was the parody on Pornhub that you watched last night.
Oh, okay. Shit. I was waiting. Dude, my dad listens to this, bro. Telling Matt.
Yeah. No, I just think like it's bound to happen. Like D'Angelo's gonna get booed in New York by every time he touches the puck. I don't know if he was getting booed in Boston, but
oh my god. They started a chant, and okay, I remember being at a Celtics game a few years ago and it was fuck you, J.R. Smith. And J.R. Smith like fouled out. He got like very shook by that. But they started fuck you, Tony.
I was gonna say that.
I mean, that's probably what's going to happen in New York. It's going to be fuck you, Tony.
It was thunderous. And Tony said today, what are you booing me for? I'm just a player who has a puck. I like it. Keep booing me. I'm playing well.
He's going to feed off that.
You want to look at my stats? Like he literally said that, like, okay, keep booing me. I'm still doing well. He thrived off it.
Mm-hmm. It really is so crazy. I mean, how many Rangers are on Kane? Six? There's literally got to be six. It's Quickie,
Stephon, D'Angelo,
so much.
Fast, Shea, Brennan Smith.
I love Faust.
There's one more, dude. And Ranta.
Faust, six. Faust had four penalties all season, and one of them was a roughing that was kind of like misguided and he didn't deserve. And he is constantly on the back check and the forecheck, so like, and he's with Staal. I feel like, okay, we talk about, okay, you said underrated people, but we all know.
Yeah.
Rangers and Canes fans and among Stepan. Us that Faust is underrated. Stepan too when he's in the lineup.
Yeah, I forgot
Brendan Moore keeps
him.
Taking him in and out of the lineup. It's because there's so many fourth liners on this team.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. That guy was a first line center in the Stanley Cup final once upon a time.
People forget.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
He was. Pretty that wild. He was.
Are you cool with one more question each, Sarah?
Yeah.
Cody, do you have one more or do you want
I'll go first. Okay. All right. We'll switch it up a little. If you could build a starting lineup, so three forwards, two D-men, and a goalie from the eight teams left in the playoffs, what six players are you going with?
Oh, God. Let me call my last brain cell for this one. Kevin Rooney.
Grinder.
I'm just kidding. We're from the same hometown.
Are you?
Yeah. He played for my hometown high school public team.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what town is it in
Massachusetts? Canton, Massachusetts.
Canton.
People forget, but I'm expecting a big. I have pictures of him and me together that I'm going to post when he scores a goal. But anyway,
that's great.
Oh fuck.
We're big Rooney fans, by the way. We like Rooney a lot.
Of course,
love some Rooney.
You guys are fourth line grinders. We get it. Jacob Slavin, Tony D'Angelo. We'll start with defense. Jacob Slavin, Tony D. I need to see a roster in front of me.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So on the left wing, I'm going to go, I can't do Panarin. I would. Literally all just right, you know
said what? Panarin before we started recording. You were so
I know, but then I thought of, but then I thought of Kucherov and, all right, center. I'm going McDavid. That's for sure. Right wing, I'm gonna go Tkachuk.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. We agree on some things. It's okay. Crazy. I know. All right, I'm gonna end on left wing. All right, Igor goalie defenseman. I'm gonna go Kale and Hedman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love myself some Fox, but
you're
I'm
just naming the best players.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Hedman, and then left wing. Oh man, left wing's tough. I'm going to go Hubert. No, I'm kidding, Johnny. Relax. Johnny, if I said Hubert, I was going to get so mad. But I should go him. All right, I'm just going to go Panarin. All right, you're up.
Man, I already have a Canes fan chirping me.
Oh, God, what are they saying? They have the Twitter, worst chirps.
His Twitter is read a book, and his bio is victim of North Carolina professional sports, and he just goes, enjoy watching the sweep. So there you go. This guy's going to jinx it.
They get too cocky.
Mm-hmm. They don't respect us.
They don't.
They don't. No. They're bad. They got to work on their chirps. I'll say that.
Oh yeah. That's like, fans. That's not good.
Those penguin chirps were, they were something.
They're bad too. It's just Crosby holding the cup. Like the gif of that is what they always post. Okay. This is like the worst question anyone has ever asked me. I'm Googling like, what are the teams still in the playoffs? Okay.
I'm clipping that for our show.
All right. It's Tampa. It's
too much pressure.
Tampa, okay. Florida.
Yeah.
Blues,
Rangers, Hurricanes,
Avs, Rangers, Hurricanes, and Calgary and Edmonton.
Okay. Well, all right, let's go centers. McDavid, McKinnon, Aho, and
Draisaitl.
Yeah. All right, we got our four centers.
Wait, you don't have to build a whole roster. It's just starting five.
Oh,
no.
I thought you were telling me. I wasn't going to interrupt
her. I thought that was going to be so funny if we just let her run with it.
Oh my God. No, well, it would have taken me a fucking half an hour to edit that.
I'm stressed. I'm sweating over here.
Yeah.
Just six players.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Well,
I'm going to ask you to build the whole team.
He's never going to talk to me ever again.
I was like, holy shit. I don't know. What do you guys think I am? Yeah.
Thank God I said something.
Well, okay. I think you're onto something with the Makar Hedman, but I think Makar Slavin somehow.
Okay.
Not biased.
Slavin, I know it's not biased because I have been very, I'm not anti-Slavin, but I do think people like gush over him a little too much now because it's like responding to the he's underrated thing. Like, no, wait. Mm-hmm. But game 7, that was one of the best performances I've seen in a while. Like if you guys want to go back and look at that game 7 from Slavin from start to finish, he was he had an impact on every single part of the game and he stopped so many chances. It was kind of insane to watch.
I didn't even watch game 7, honestly.
You gotta watch Slavin in game 7 and you will
the whole understand. Game? Go watch film.
Yeah. Just have his number. No, not really though. So yeah. I think I covered it here. I got the whole roster.
All right, I'll ask you a much easier question. Prediction for the series. I think I think like a little biased just because the momentum they have right now. I think Rangers in six. I think it's actually, I was telling Cody before we started recording, I think it's more beneficial to us that we don't have home ice because I'd rather come back for games 3 and 4 than have to go there in a 1-1, 2-0 situation. Like I like that we're coming home. What? What
she was thinking?
Such a spin zone.
She was thinking Canes in 5.
I like that we don't have home ice.
Huh?
Wait till I learn anything from Bruins versus Canes. There, it's that like.
Well, guess what?
For game 7,
if the Rangers had home ice in games 1 and 2, and it was 1-1 going back to Carolina, I think Carolina's winning both games on home ice. So I'd rather like the Rangers like pick up momentum like later on in the series, like they did against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Canes and Bruins won every home game.
Yeah,
none of them won an away game, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. It was insane. And that's why you kind of have not steadfast optimism in this team because of the way they were on the road and knowing their history at Madison Square Garden. Like it's definitely cause for concern. And I do think the momentum from game 6s and 7 from the Rangers is huge cause for concern for the Canes. They aren't taking it lightly. And there's so many former Rangers on the Canes now that like they know to take you guys seriously. I still think it's going to be Canes in 6.
Mm-hmm. You know what else? I think if there's anything to be confident about with the Rangers and Rangers fans, Alexander Georgiev pitched a shutout in Carolina. Anything is fucking possible.
Oh God.
That was his MJ flu game.
Yeah, that was
made insane. A fucking save, if you will.
That was insane. Cody, what's yours? You could say Carolina. Like,
can I?
We both think Carolina's. So, we both really think Carolina's going to win deep down, but like at the same time,
the Rangers fan in me also wants to say Rangers in six, and the only reason I say that is because I do think the momentum it was a big shift in the team's like inner inner vibe, and I thought they didn't have much going for them in the first in the middle games of that series, so I just think it was a big shift. But I probably think it would be Canes in six, but I'm gonna go Rangers in six because we are the Rangers. That.
Yeah. Also, if it does go to game seven, I'm going because it's a Monday night, so I'm going to Carolina that weekend with COVID.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah. And I'm asking you for tickets because I just spent way too much money on game seven in New York.
You have to buy them for us, though, on your card because we won't be allowed in otherwise.
That's true. Yeah,
I know. What the hell? Maybe I could do that for a story.
Wait, can you even buy tickets? Your credit card's probably Boston.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
Can you imagine? You just can't get in.
Yeah.
My brother asked me for tickets at Madison Square Garden. I'm like, you're a New York firefighter. I think you probably got more pull there than I do.
That was a great tweet, by the way. You're like, what was it like? This playoffs is all about family members asking for tickets.
Yeah, like maybe in the end, the real Stanley Cup playoffs were about my brother is asking me for tickets along the
way. That's so funny.
Like, round one, Boston. Round two, New York. So here we go.
Before we do let you go, is there anything that you do want to plug? I know Too Many Men, big hit. You guys are like back up and running. I know you guys like didn't record for quite a bit.
Yeah, we just signed with Dan Le Batard. So
very cool. I saw that clip.
So that's you. That's awesome.
Yeah, let's plug that.
Yeah.
And then awesome. I may or may not be writing a story about Kevin Rooney and my high school hockey team. So
we'll have our eyes peeled on it.
Yeah.
Love it.
But we love y'all. See you Saturday in the city. We'll get a drink.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
You can pour one out for me.
Yeah. He'll be in
Israel. Where are you?
I'll be on Israel. A beach in Tel Aviv.
Wow. Oh yeah. Well, I'd rather be.
Well, game seven. If we get there, me and Johnny are going to hop on a plane. I land Sunday night. We're going to hop right on a plane for Monday's game and we're going to take care of business.
Yeah. I love the energy.
On your credit card though.
We actually saved the series. I don't know if you know that. We saved the Rangers in round one. So.
Oh, so.
Cause every other Ranger fan and like Ranger podcast was like, they suck. They're young and experienced. Igor's a bus. And we were like, dude,
you're
a bus.
Not us.
Not us. No, we were like, all you need is one momentum shift. Game five happened. And that's all it took.
There's no quit in this podcast.
Exactly. There's no quit in this Boom. Podcast.
End on that.
Yeah, we're done. See ya.
Thank Love you ya. So much, Sarah.
Love ya. See you guys.
And a big thanks to Sarah Sivian for joining the show. It was awesome. Had a great time. And, you know, hopefully can link up game seven in Carolina. That would be sweet. Johnny, you want to predict some of the other series as well?
Yeah, I don't know if you kept track of your record. I was 6-for-8 on my picks. The only ones I got wrong was Leafs and Caps.
I have a confession. I think when I said all my picks on this podcast, I did very, very well. Mm-hmm. But then I second-guessed every single one, and I did one of those bracket things, and I think I messed them all up.
I'm referring to the ones that we said in the podcast. That's okay. What I was keeping track of.
Okay. So on the podcast, I said Kings and seven. So I blew that one, but I was close. You thought it was going to be Oilers and five.
Yeah. I can't believe that went seven. I really can't.
So Rangers, I was right. I said Lightning, even though you said Leafs, but that's one of the ones I messed up and I switched on my bracket because you got me nervous. Mm-hmm. All right. So Leafs, Lightning, sorry, two. I said Flames, three. I said Avs, four. I did say Bruins in seven just because I was so afraid of the Canes. Yeah. So that's 4-for-6. Which are the two I'm missing? Florida. I did say Florida.
Calgary, maybe?
Five. No, I said Calgary. So that's five. I'm missing one more.
St. Louis. You had Minnesota.
St. Louis.
Right?
No, I had St. Louis. I said St. Louis in seven, remember? And you said St. Louis in five or something like that. Yeah. Sorry. So we both went 6-for-8.
Yeah. No. And I think we should just start quickly. We're not going to, you know, break each series down, but we'll start.
No.
Let's start with the West. Let's go St. Louis, Colorado. I'm really excited for that series, honestly. I think St. Louis is really good. I actually, if I'm going to bet on that game, which I probably will, I'm taking St. Louis to win game one.
You might not be wrong there, but I'm going to go Colorado in six.
Yeah, I think Colorado wins the series in six as well.
Yeah.
Actually, that's literally my prediction, Colorado in six. But I do think it's always – there's always literally? There's a history – what?
So that's literally my prediction. I said, oh, is no. It literally?
But there's always – you know, a trend that the teams that come off a sweep because they have so many days off, like usually don't have their foot on the gas for game one. So like, that's why I like St. Louis to come out and win game one, steal it on the road. And then we can go into Calgary versus Edmonton, the Battle of Alberta. That's
going to be a sick series. That is going to be you want to talk about physical. Yeah. That's going to be a hell of a series. I gotta go Calgary too.
As much as I want to go Calgary, I think if McDavid and Draisaitl play together,
said the same thing about the Leafs though. You're like, once they're rolling, they're going to roll, Johnny.
It's hard to bet. I mean, like, obviously it's not hard to bet against McDavid because like he hasn't had much success in the playoffs, but like at the same time, like he's leading the playoffs in goals and points.
Dude,
like,
the thing at this point in the playoffs, your players who really, you know, light the lamp, tear it up, whatever, it's awesome, but they can only get, dude, it comes down to goaltending. And I think in that series, you know, if you're going Smith against Markstrom, I mean,
Smith posted a game 7 shutout.
He did, but I gotta go with Marky Mark over there, dude. I mean,
I'm saying Oilers in 7. I think that series is definitely going.
I think it's 7. Going 7 too. Okay, I'm 7. I'm going Calgary in 6.
Okay,
let's I think every series I'm going fucking 6. Oh my god.
Yeah, we already gave our Rangers prediction.
So. Rangers, Rangers is so tough. It really is so tough. I don't think that series is going 7. I just don't. I don't think it is. Mm. And like, the Canes scare me, and I know, you know, we said whatever to Sarah, but like, I want the Rangers to win in 6 so bad. So I'm gonna, if I'm going with an official prediction, I'm going Rangers in 6.
I have a very, I'm sticking by my Rangers in 6 also, but I have a very hot take for the Panthers, Lightning series.
It's not that hot. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Lightning in 5.
No, Panthers in 5.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, so we're switching now from Caps in 6 to okay. Interesting.
I just think, I think Florida just is.
Here's the thing. Florida hadn't won a series since 1996. That's a long time. Yep. It's a really long time. And now they won it. They got that out of the way. And they're a very, very good team. And I don't know if you looked at any of the stats in terms of like their play. None of their guys outside of Verhaeghe really like went off. Like, I think I saw Barkov had like 5 points, or Ekblad had like 5 points or something like that. Like none of their, you know, absolute stars went off. So they're going to be a scary team. The Lightning are the Lightning. So they're not going to be pushovers, but I can't, you went Panthers in 5.
Yeah. I just really think they didn't have the experience last year when they played each other, but they still matched up so well against Tampa. And I think you just take any lesson you can from that and learn. Yeah. And this year they've been so fucking good. And I've seen what they can do, like when they really get going. And
that's a tough one, dude. That's a tough one for me.
I also just think Tampa, like, I know they won and they beat the Leafs, but I still think Toronto was the better team for most of that series. So like,
I can't go. I think that's going to be the series that goes 7. I think that series is going to go 7 games, and I'm going to go with the Panthers. And I think it's going to be the first time that Vazzy gets stiffed on his back,
whatever.
Back. Yeah. Dude, he's like 7-0.
No, like 17-0.
No, but he posted like 6 straight shutouts or something like that before the last game.
No, he so in with games after a loss, he's like 16-0 with 5 shutouts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I meant in elimination games. In elimination games, I think he's 7-0. I think he's like literally 7. Like, he's insane. Yeah, but I think this is going to break the streak. Panthers are riding hot. And that's the thing about the Rangers, man. Like, if the Rangers can get through Carolina somehow, some way, I like their chances against both the Lightning and the Panthers. Do I think they're the better team than those guys? Probably not, but I think they are a good matchup for both of those teams. And like, I feel more confident in saying the Rangers can beat either of those guys than I do against the Canes. Just based on, you know, the Canes are in the Metro. We see them all the time, and they've just had our number, like, you know, the past couple of years and so on. But dude, I'm telling you, man, I feel something in the air with this team. If they can figure out a way to just get past Carolina, I think they're going to roll a train, man. They're going to roll a train.
I completely agree.
But
yeah, on that. Yeah. Gonna wrap it up for this episode. We got another one coming on Thursday. We're going to record after game 1.
Yeah. And real quick, I just did want to say game one, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Friday, 8 p.m. I'll be watching from the airport with a nice little tequila soda. And then game three is Sunday at 3:30. Mm-hmm.
As always, thank you guys for listening. It was great getting to meet a lot of you on Friday and on Sunday at MSG. And hopefully we'll see more of you guys in the next couple of days at some of these games. So thanks for listening. We love you. And let's go Rangers.
No quit.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.